My parents adopted my brother Tony in 1963. He was only 5. I was 12, and I instantaneously took him under my wing. When I was 24 and he was 15, I took full custody of him, and together we started Youth Enterprises to give the kids in Chico, California, projects to improve their community. The Reverend Jesse Jackson was on my board of advisors. After my brother went into the Army, I continued to do work with youth, with various nonprofits, including Rubicon in the San Francisco Bay Area, who housed children from 6 to 15 years old who had been abused. I was on the board of directors for Easter Seals and American Diabetes Association while operating my own entrepreneur training company. For more than 10 years, I arranged all the logistics for 10 to 12 golf tournaments a year for nonprofits such as Boys Town of Italy, Boys and Girls Clubs, and typically for programs for children such as Rubicon, raising $35,000 to $150,000 per tournament. In 1998, my brother discovered he had colon cancer and was told he had 6 months to live. I asked him to move back to California from Texas, where I had developed a multitude of alternative health resources. Using complementary and innovative modalities, we managed to get more than 10 years together, and during that time, we developed the idea of Ultimate Business University, UBU, to address the issues of the more than 200,000 youth under 18 living on the streets in the United States without an adult to provide or protect them. Before Tony passed away in 2008, I promised him I would make UBU a reality. I was going to start with 300 boys, and he asked that we build the school in Belize, where the environment was more conducive to the quality living conditions, inspiring an appreciation of our life, and reduce the typical stresses people experience. To start the journey to bring our dream into a reality, I met with the architects and engineers who are on the UBU team once a month for more than a year just to develop the plans. In 2012, we had more than 70 people on the team, some who had patiently been waiting for up to 5 years for UBU to begin breaking ground. The team members come from 11 countries and 13 states around the United States. UBU's first campus in Belize will encompass 16 million square feet of buildings, house 6,000 youth, and be self-sustaining within 3 to 5 years. We will have over 25,000 employees. The parent company, Ultimate Business International, comprises 28 divisions, so we can address every quality of life issue, including education, natural wellness concepts, growing non-GMO food, clothing manufacturing, and reaching out to communities to assist those who need a helping hand. Perhaps not surprisingly, I was promised funding many times. Each time the funding fell by the wayside, the vision and mission for UBU got more expansive. In 2012, I was interviewed by an investor who had $660 billion to invest in humanitarian projects. He told me to shut down my entrepreneur training business March of 2013 to go to Zurich and sign on to an account he had set up for the funding to finally build UBU. But on March 1st, Christine Lagarde, president of the International Monetary Fund, froze the platforms where his funds had been held, and they became inaccessible. Perhaps, not surprisingly, I was promised funding many times. Each time the funding fell by the wayside, the vision and mission for UBU got more expansive. In 2012, I was interviewed by an investor who had $660 billion to invest in humanitarian projects. He told me to shut down my entrepreneur training business March of 2013 to go to Zurich and sign on to an account he had set up for the funding to finally build UBU. But on March 1st, Christine Lagarde, president of the International Monetary Fund, froze the platforms where his funds were being held, and they became inaccessible. That is when my broker introduced me to the Global Currency Reset, the GCR, and I ended up selling everything I had to buy enough currency based on the future revaluation to fund the school without having to rely on an outside resource. I read every blog that was recommended, listened to various talk programs, participated on open mic forums, and tuned into several programs until after a year I developed relationships with those sharing the intel. I was asked to participate in one of the daily calls of intel-only participants, which I did for about a year, until it was obvious that the intel was the same every week, if not every day. About 3 months later, I was introduced to the concept of the Zim Swap and met people who, like me, had projects they had been planning for several years, but there was an obvious lack of education available for them. I took my 20-plus years of entrepreneur training programs and created a teleseminar course which covered creating a one-page synopsis, budgets, startup processes, building a management team, finding like-minded individuals, how to shift from an employee to employer mentality, and especially how to protect the funds once they had them. By the end of August 2016, I knew the Zim Swap I was involved in was going to take longer than they had promised. One of the people I had met on the daily intel calls advised me on how to start up my own Zim Swap group. I was told I needed 1,000 quad to qualify, which I didn't have, so I opened it up to the people who had been taking my courses. Within 1 week, I had assembled and received 500 quad of Zimbabwe notes. There were 295 people in the Zim Swap group. We found a buyer resource who was able to process our group that had less than 1,000 quad through a roles and extension program, but the opportunity also seemed to be stalling. After having waited for almost 10 months for this original swap to happen, with constant updates that we would be called to travel overseas for our tabletop exchange meeting within the next couple of days, I was finally introduced to another person. The story was repeated several times over 10 years. I've waited for funds to be realized from the Zim Swap exchange. I've expanded my network in 2020 and started working with people around the world who held large assets such as golden guns, crystal palaces, super Pacelli, and German bonds, just to name a few. These assets had been passed down generation to generation and had values of $1 billion to $100 billion depending on the size of the asset and the buyer's perception of the value. One of these contracts would be more than enough to fund UBU and all the campus expansions around the world. Every day could be the day, so I'm told each week. World politics and economics play a heavy role in the timing of the GCR and the buyer's ability to acquire the assets. And here we are, hopefully soon to begin this amazing journey, get the kids off the streets, and provide them with a safe, nurturing environment while providing them with the best education in an amazing environment where they will be safe and nurtured.